Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hey folks, Dan Freer here at the closing bell for December 17th, 2024. So we're within hours of the Federal Reserve meeting. Let me stop there. Let me explain how all this is going to work. We monitor the Fed because they give us projections on where inflation's going, all this other stuff. And they also give us, you know, what's going on with interest rates. But you're here to figure out what in the heck's going on with these things. Okay, that's why you're truly here. So I want to dive into that today so you guys understand this. So let's break all these down because a lot of things are going to pop up saying, you know, the Federal Reserve's meeting tomorrow. Here's the highlights right through here. Federal Reserve's meeting in 21 hours, 27 minutes, and 22 seconds. What are they going to do? Well, that's the contentious piece right here. But let me explain to you guys out there that's looking for a mortgage. Whatever the Fed does tomorrow, it's going to be irrelevant when it comes to interest rates. And I'm going to show you a couple videos today. And this video might be a little bit longer than most, but I want you guys to understand how all this works. So the Federal Reserve could cut rates just like they did on September 18th, and mortgage rates went up. They cut rates 50 basis points, 0.5%, and mortgage rates went up from 6% almost to 7%. So why? That's what you're trying to figure out. So it all comes around, you know, it's not based on what the Federal Reserve does and what they're doing with interest rates. Mortgage rates are tied to bonds. Okay, so that's what I'm going to show you videos on today. That's what we have to understand. We want to focus in on, everybody keeps saying, you know, tariffs this, and what's the Trump administration going to do here? I don't want to get political. I'm not going to get political. But I want to show you guys how, you know, the fear of tariffs, increasing inflation, everything else, that's what's spooking the markets right now. That's what's causing mortgage rates to do what they're doing, because it's not what the Fed's doing. It's truly not what the Fed's doing. It's what the bond market is doing. And to understand this, you have to understand the dynamics with our country. So our country doesn't have enough money. Thus, we have a deficit. That deficit is $36 trillion right now. Okay, so how they fund that is it's a deficiency of taxes coming in, because that's how the government makes money. They don't make it, they get it that way, plus they print it. And that's why we're such in debt. So the bond market is what's taking the biggest chunk of this stuff. And that's why rates are doing what they're doing with mortgage rates. Okay, so let me help you understand this a little bit. Right through here, it says the Federal Reserve has a big interest rate decision coming on Wednesday. Here's what to expect. A lot of the former Fed officials, even some of them currently, are saying, I'm against the cuts because we think tariffs are going to increase inflation and a bunch of other uncertainties. So let's get over to two videos I want to show you guys. And I handpicked these today for the specifics. So this person's going to say, you know, we really don't know what's projections are for 2025. And I'm with him on that one. But then we're going to go over to one of Trump's appointees. And he's coming in today. And there's a huge caption to this. And if you want to find this, just Google it through CNBC. It's a lengthy interview, but I'm taking from the 3-minute mark to the end of this. That's when they really start to talk about tariffs and how that's going to affect interest rates and our government deficit going forward. So let's first take a look at this. We're going to see the point of view on the tariffs are uncertainty and the future administration's uncertainty. Then we're going to go over to the actual administration kind of talking, telling us what they're going to do to fight all the inflation battles with tariffs and everything else. So it's pretty interesting. So we're going to piece these two together. So let's first take this side of the equation, the uncertainties, and then we're going to come back with the Trump's person he appointed to kind of oversee a lot of this stuff. So let's take it away.
I assume, Peter, you're in the quarter point camp here, but what people will be listening for is the idea of whether the Fed is going to pause in January. Do you think they will? Do you think they should?
So I am not in a 25 basis point cut. I think they should wait.
It's funny how 2 months ago, everybody saying they need to cut, they need to cut, they need to cut. There was going to be 10 rate cuts coming. And now as the data is coming in, some are saying, well, okay, there's uncertainty. So I'm not for the cuts. So that's what I want you guys to understand as well. So a lot of people are coming out of the woodworks now based on a lot of the economic news saying, I don't think we should cut right now because inflation isn't continuing to go down. And that's the topic right now between inflation, tariffs, and unemployment.
Not because I don't think that the economy may need more rate cuts. I just think that there is such a cloudy situation when you try to marry the economic data that they're looking at, those who they are restrictive for, and those that they are not restrictive for, like the markets, for example. And I think reconciling that right now is very confusing. And if there's one thing that Jay Powell told us before he started cutting rates in September, is he needed confidence that inflation was not only just coming down, but was going to sustainably stay down. And I don't see how he has enough confidence to say, okay, let's cut rates again, which would be 100 basis points since September, rather than maybe bringing in more information, particularly on the new incoming administration's policies on taxes and tariffs, and then wait till January. I mean, that they're going to cut ahead of that information, which is hugely important for the economy over the next couple of years, I'm not sure why they're going to do that.
But let me just mention something that one of our guests yesterday said, and that person said fundamentally that that's not a bad posture to take, that they shouldn't cut, but that the market isn't prepared for that. That's not what the Fed has been signaling, and that if they don't cut, it will be a real upset in the investment markets, among other places.
So they've been basically telegraphing we're still higher than the neutral rate. They won't come out and tell us what the neutral rate is, but they're saying we're much above the neutral rate. So if you're way above an interest rate, you should cut. So that's the side of the cuts. So now on the other side, I get their dilemma. We don't know what policy is going to be. We don't know how tax laws are going to change. We don't know how tariffs are going to interact with all this. So what do you do? So that's what they're talking about here. But again, we're going to counter this with one of the Trump's administrators coming in telling us what they're going to do to kind of offset what these people are talking about right there here.
They will cut because the market has essentially bullied them into cutting.
Yeah.
So they are not going to bypass that. It will be interesting to see if Michelle Bowman maybe dissents again, or I doubt we'll get a second dissent, but who knows? Particularly with the voters, this is their last meeting, the presidents before they become alternates. But they will cut because mm-hmm. the market has basically mm-hmm. priced it in, and they're not going to go against that.
Even though I sympathize, I still hear the intellectual case being made. People like Paul McCulley, who was on yesterday, Surratt, and said, you know, I said to him, why lower? If you just look at the facts, why lower? He said, because you still want to help the yield curve get positive. You're looking out 6 to 12 months. You want to, you know, kind of get to closer to where neutral might be. So I think there is a justification that they are making. Whether it's accurate or not, time will tell.
I think the messaging is going to be so important. I think the 25 is baked in. I agree with Peter. I said, if you didn't have a new incoming president, I think you would have probably stayed where you are, and the message would have been like, we're ready to cut, but we need more information. But the market will not be prepared for that. And I think you don't want to, so it's like a lose-lose. Like if you don't cut, the market will get upset. And if you cut, the market will say, why did you do it? But you're kind of doing it, I think, even more for political reasons, and then you wait.
But if it were political reasons, why not wait and keep your cuts in, you know, as ammo for the new administration? I mean, are you think they're openly trying to defy Trump and raise rates to appear independent?
Well, I think Trump has said we need rates to be lower.
Right. So why not wait and say after he takes office, we'll do that?
Because then you might give him ammunition to say, wow, I can't believe you didn't cut. Now you have to cut even way more the next time. So you kind of say, we already said we were going to do this, and then wait for the information. So what will be interesting in the messaging going forward, if they tend to be more hawkish in their message, I think the markets will not like that either. So tomorrow's going to be an interesting day just on what happens to the yield curve, what happens to the 10-year, what happens to equities, and where do we go with that?
Okay, I agree with 100% of what they're saying. So now let's get on the other side of the equation. This is a concern I have as well. If you're going to throw tariffs on everything, you're basically jacking up the prices on everything, that is going to be inflationary, most likely. So let's get his Peter Navarro. He was on Trump's staff originally back in 2016. And this is his take on it. He's back on the staff this time around as well. So I picked out a section here that's going to talk about this, the area that we're focusing in on this morning. So let's take it away.
What this all adds up to, first of all, is we're going to be able to break the back of the persistent inflation we've been experiencing. And it's going to happen first and foremost with drill, baby, drill. The team we have at Energy and Interior, is Burgum and Wright. They're going to get that right. Joe, just going from an average of $75 to $80 barrel of oil, which we've been suffering through in Biden land, back down towards 50 where we were with Trump. That diffuses through the economy in a beautiful way. We're going to deal that way with the cost push inflation. All of these government efficiency reforms that Batman and Robin there of Elon and Vivek are going to do, that's going to help break the back of inflation. And then on the demand pull side, what we have is, first of all, those green mandates, that EV mandate, that has gone. That has gone like the wind. That's going to help mute prices at a price level. And then I think you're going to see in the next month or two, as these negotiations over the tax cuts and budget and all that, some significant clawbacks so that we're able to reduce our deficit overhang and all the printing of money we've been doing at the Fed. So I just love what's going on. We're getting that right. Sergio Gore, let me put in a plug for him. He was my publisher, the new MAGA deal with Don Jr. He's moved right into that personnel position. Personnel is policy, as Reagan said. And they're just doing a great job vetting people, moving in, and they're hiring people like this.
Yes, personnel is policy. That's what people think, that your appointment made it much more likely that tariffs aren't just a negotiating tool, but that they're actually employed. And, you know, that, to some people, you know, that's a horrifying thought. To others, maybe not so much. But when you talk about inflation, how do you make the case that if you are there to—
Here we go. So he's going to explain how the tariffs are going to work, bringing down prices. So this is up to you to decide.
To make sure that the president follows through on some of these tariffs, how do you make the case that that's not inflationary?
Because you have the experience of the first term, Joe. We put on significant tariffs on China, steel, aluminum, dishwashers, solar. A lot of increased countervailing duties to stop the dumping. We had zero inflation from any of that. Inflation is both a monetary phenomenon where we run a Federal Reserve that prints too much money, and they do that to accommodate fiscal irresponsibility. And if you look at how the Biden inflation emerged, there's no secret, Joe, how it happened. It's fiscal irresponsibility, spending too much money. And I'd say they just destroyed strategic energy dominance for the United States, which is sitting on the mother load of reserves that would make it strategic energy dominant. So I would say that just go back and play all the interviews that were done on CNBC of people back in the first term with their hair on fire warning about inflation. It never happened. And it's the same movie this time. I think what we need to focus on, and by the way, the news yesterday was really interesting with Masasan. You're going to see over $1 trillion, Joe, over $1 trillion of investment increased in this country because of the president's tariff and trade policies, America First policies. People are wanting to come here, not just to be inside, but also because of all the good things we're doing in terms of tax relief and regulatory relief. And Joe, I can't stress more this regulatory relief that's coming. It's going to come through the Lutnick chain. It's going to come through the Elon Ramaswamy chain. And it's going to dramatically reduce the burden on corporations, small businesses. And that's why I said a few minutes ago that small businesses, I think, are going to outperform. The small caps are going to outperform because they got the biggest bang for the buck out of reduce regulatory loads and tax loads.
So that's where I want to leave it right there. So again, these comments that they make, it's not, we don't want to be political. These are not my point of views. I'm just here to provide this data for you, and it's not SurfBank point of view on any of the political pieces of this puzzle. But I want you to understand, you know, how all of this works throughout the process. So that's what we're seeing right through there. So let's get over to that. That's a long enough video because everything, like I said, is going to be predetermined by what happens tomorrow, and then where we're going to see everything kind of trickle trickling from there. So you're going to see the markets, well, I didn't expect this in the markets right now, the equity markets down, the Dow's down 260 points. The markets are getting hammered, and there's a nine-day losing streak. It seems like every time I go away for a couple days, either the markets crash or mortgage rates spike or whatever, but we now have one of the longest losing streaks since 1978 in the equity market. So equities are giving it back because of uncertainty. Cryptocurrencies, they're at 106. That's way up there, and it'll be also be determinant on what happens tomorrow. But now you understand a little bit more of why I keep talking about oil, why oil is inflationary or non-inflationary, because everything runs on oil. So I watch oil on a daily basis, and you just heard mainly the reason why I do that is because it will help or show me where the inflation is coming or if it's coming back down. So oil at $70 right through there, that's kind of our steady point. When we start getting above that, that's when I get concerned about inflation there. But we'd love to see this back in the 60s or the 50s. That would help out all of us very well as well. So that's my report for today. We will be back tomorrow with the Federal Reserve. It will be a huge day tomorrow. We'll be focusing on what the Federal Reserve does and then the market reactions. That's the biggest take you need to take out of all this, because it's not, you know, what the Federal Reserve does tomorrow. We're going to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We want to see their projections going forward. And then it's also going to be data dependent on how all these changes politically take effect and how they affect the overall deficit of the U.S. And then that will trickle down through where mortgage rates go, because it's all related to bonds. So I just want to show you over there where how the bond market's reacting right now. MBSs are down too. I expected that for today. So this is a mortgage bond that trades on Wall Street. And that's what we focus in on daily, because this is the bond, the actual bond, mortgage bond. So the yield on this thing is basically the biggest component of your mortgage rate. It's this, it's LLPAs, and then it's bank profit margins equal what interest rate you're getting. And that's what you see finally right through here. So you need to understand how all of this works so you can understand how these work. So thanks so much for watching. My name is Dan Frio. I don't do this just for educational purposes. This is my livelihood. I'm actually a loan officer. If you're out there trying to buy that first house, maybe looking for a refinance, reverse mortgages, debt consolidation loans, love to help you. We do a lot of investor loans as well. So if you're an investor out there looking for bank statement loan, lease loans, or DSCRs, I might be your choice of as the lender on that as well. So reach out to us. We'd love to help you out. We were minimizing our website a little bit just to kind of reduce the confusion. So if you're out there and you're looking to put in your first application, hit the apply now button. But what we strive for to have people to do is set up a consultation right through here. So we want to know your story. And I'm sure you guys want to talk to us as well. Vet us. Do we understand what we're doing? Do we have the product that you need? Are we working in the state that you need? Yes, we're working in every state in the United States as well as Puerto Rico. So these are the things we can answer for you. So you can also scroll down to the bottom. We have a rate watch system right here. This is if anybody has a mortgage right now, they want us to watch the rate. So if it hits a specific rate that you're looking for, I'm going to notify you immediately. So put in your rate watch right through here. You can click that, put in your information. But at the bottom of here is where you're going to find all the information on how to contact us. So please give us a call at 844-775-5626 or email me personally at dan@therateupdate.com. So have a fantastic night tonight, folks. Get ready for that holiday season that's coming up very soon. But I will be back tomorrow at the opening bell to let you know how all this starts over another day. Thanks for watching, folks. Can't wait to see you tomorrow as well. Bye-bye.